So as we mentioned already, this is the first of our summer series called God in the Movies. This is something that we do at Cedar Ridge most summers, and it's really one of my favorite parts of our congregational life, because over the summer, members of the congregation are the folks giving the message. Today it's me and my daughter Edith, and we... throughout the series, I hope you'll stay with us, because movies and art can be such an amazing way to connect with God and to see our worlds differently. And it's always such a treat to hear what different members of our community are seeing and thinking and feeling and how you're growing. And so I just love this series, and it's really an honor to be able to present to you today. And so with that said, Edith is going to kick us off.
Think about the first time you did something that you now find a common task. Baking cookies, taking the bus, riding a bike. Bluey is an animated series that takes these little but fundamental elements of life seriously. Today, we're going to share one episode of Bluey called Bike. It's just 9 minutes. Then, we'll talk a little bit about what it means to the both of us.
Now, there's also an audiobook version of this episode. That's the same length, and it does a tremendous job telling the story. For those who might need or want to experience the episode this way, you can access it by using that QR code on the back of the seat in front of you. From there, you can follow the link to the episode and listen to it on your phone. If you need headphones, please raise your hand. My son Jacob's going to get up, and he's got headphones for anyone who needs them. So. Please raise your hand, and we can help you with that. So we're going to go to the first slide, which explains some of the characters that we're going to meet in this episode. Actually, the very next slide.
Okay. Bluey is an Australian cartoon about a family of blue heeler dogs and their little adventures. It is set in Brisbane, Australia. Here are the characters we'll see in the episode. On the left is Bandit, Bluey's father, and above him is Bluey, the main character. Next to her is Bingo, Bluey's little sister. The gray dog is Muffin, Bluey's cousin, and the brown dog is Bentley, a friend of Bluey and Bingo.
Now, you may be thinking right now, an animated episode, maybe this is for the kids who went off to preschool. And actually, here at Cedar Ridge, we do sometimes teach with Bluey episodes in the kids program. But this is a program that our whole family has come to love. And in fact, Edith, when was it that you first started watching Bluey?
I actually started watching Bluey in fourth grade when our teacher had extra time in class. So he would play things, and everyone wanted Bluey.
And why did everyone want Bluey?
I think it's because it's very relatable, and everyone can watch it and have fun with it.
And it's not just for kids either. What happened, so I was a little skeptical at first. I started hearing about the Bluey craze. Edith started playing Bluey theme song on her violin, which we didn't bring today, but... And I was a little surprised, but then what happened when we kind of got Bluey involved in our home?
Well, when you first watched it, everyone was crying.
Totally. So there's episodes that have kind of become part of our life because they illuminate little pieces of everyday life that seem so ordinary, but then when you sort of peel the layers back, you sort of see the specialness and see a little bit more. Like, what are some of the examples of Bluey episodes?
Well, there's just different things, like trying to get out of the house and like learning how to make an omelet.
Exactly. So with that, we're going to watch today's episode, which is titled Bike.
Mom! Dad! You sure you don't want some help?
No.
So close.
This episode of Bluey is called Mike.
It's not fair. Why can't I just do it straight away?
That's not how the world works, kid.
And the world is silly.
Can't argue with that.
I'm never riding that bike again.
Okay.
Almost. Oh, poor Bingo.
She'll figure it out. Hey, look at Bentley.
I can't reach. Oh, she can't reach the monkey bars.
Hey, look at your cousin Muffin.
Finish my water, put it in my backpack. Put my backpack on my back. One arm through. Now the other one. Mummy a strap.
She can't get the bag on.
Oh, Muffin, the strap is there. Just stick your arm through.
Look, Bingo's having another go.
Go, Bingo, faster!
Come on, Bingo! Come on, Bingo! Come on, Bingo! Oh!
Almost! That's it! Oh, she's gonna try to jump!
Okay, here she goes!
Yay! Jumping!
Oh!
Ow! She's okay!
Whoa, look at Muffin! Oh boy, here comes the meltdown.
Whoa, this is unacceptable. Why won't you go on my back, you bag?
Whoa, look at Bentley. Here she goes.
Jumping.
Oh, so close.
Into a little ball too. Poor Bingo. I'll go and hold the button for her.
Hang on, not so fast. Let's just see what happens next.
Yeah!
Oh, Pingo.
That's disgusting.
That's less than ideal, but it's still a win. Nice work, Pingo. Nice work, Bluey.
Do you think Bluey rides off, or do you think she falls again? Or does it not really matter as much if she succeeds than if she got back up? Because the point of the episode is not success, rather it is about persistence. Notice the different ways the children react to their challenges and face them. To start, Bluey throws her helmet down in disgust and proclaims that she'll never ride a bike again. But throughout the course of the episode, she observes the other children and realizes that the only way she can learn to ride her bike is to try again. On the other hand, the other children face their problems by observing the problem and tackling it creatively. First, Bentley realizes she can climb the pole, and Muffin sees she can crawl up to her back part. Finally, Bringo brings the water down to her height so that she can drink it, each of them modifying their situation so that they could get what they wanted. Sometimes you can tackle problems creatively, but finding solutions. Other times, like when you're on a bear hunt, you can't go over it, you can't go under it, you can't go around it, you have to go through it.
Another way of facing challenges is to turn to others and to accept help from those who are with you. What it means to help plays a big role in this episode. As we watched the kids struggle, we may have wanted to reach into the screen and just fix things for them. We might have wanted to hold on to the bike for Bluey or activate the water fountain for Bingo. But it's interesting to me that Bandit, the parent in the episode, didn't do any of these things. He didn't jump off the park bench to place the backpack on Muffin's back or to lift Bingo up to the water fountain. He might have been tempted to do this. I know I have as a parent. But in this case, he didn't intervene. But what we see through this episode is that a lack of intervention is not the same as a lack of attention. Bandit is fully paying attention. He isn't scrolling on his phone or lost in his own thoughts or worries. Again, something I've been tempted to do at the park. He's present with the children in their challenges. And maybe this, too, is a form of help. We can also see that Bandit is not just paying attention, but he's fully invested in what's going on. He's cheering, pumping his fist. He's desiring the success of each child at the park. This makes me think about a book about parenting that I read a few years ago that really kind of changed my perspective. It's written by a psychologist and philosopher, Alison Gopnik, and it's titled The Gardener and the Carpenter. And she suggests that maybe being a parent isn't so much like being a carpenter, where you have a perfect blueprint on hand, you've measured all the materials, and you've kind of created a perfect structure for your kids. But it's more like being a gardener, who's working with everything that's there and bringing to light those seeds that are growing up and reaching up towards the sky. And ultimately, she says, this is a work of love. She says that, rather, she says, caring for children is not a kind of work, but a kind of love. And so, what does that mean in our setting, in a church? I think about the medieval theologian Thomas Aquinas, who said, to love is to will the good of another. And I think this is what Bandit is doing. He is loving the kids. He's willing their good and their growth in the midst of their trying. He's not intervening. But we can again see here that not intervening is not the same as a lack of love. Watching Bandit, I think that perhaps this is how God interacts with us. There's a saying that tries to make sense of some of the hard things that we go through. Maybe you've heard it. It says, when God closes a door, he opens a window. But that slogan doesn't always ring true to me. Sometimes when I've faced heartbreaking losses or unintended interruptions and detours, there isn't a physical window that opens up. There isn't a big intervention that happens. God doesn't just pick me up and put me back on course. But maybe God, in those instances, is like Bandit on the bench in the park, fully there, hoping and yearning for me to grow, to dig deeper, to reach a little further, to figure out where and how to build my own window. God is still invested, like Bandit, wildly and exuberantly cheering. In the Bible, there's an instruction to God's people to love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. Heart, soul, and mind. A contemporary theologian, Nijay Gupta, interprets the presence of these three words, heart, soul, and mind, in the commandment, as a signifier of love's breadth, its wholeness. He writes, "To love is to direct one's whole being towards someone and something, and to intertwine their whole being with that other." I see that in this episode. Bandit and Bluey sitting on the bench, fully involved, mind, body, and soul, fully invested in Bentley reaching the rung, Muffin securing her backpack, and Bingo getting a drink of water. Again, lack of intervention is not a lack of love. It can be an expression of love.
Did anybody recognize the song that was playing near the end? Do 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 do. That's Ode to Joy by Ludwig von Beethoven from his Ninth Symphony. Ode to Joy is a song about triumph and overcoming. Near the end of his life, Beethoven was beginning to go deaf. And of course, as a composer, that's quite challenging. Even as he faced that challenge, Beethoven made a remarkable change to music with this particular piece, because it was the first symphony to incorporate both choral and instrumental music in a genre of music that was only instrumental at the time. Challenges give us opportunities to grow. Muffin, Bentley, and Bingo all solved their problems creatively. Had none of them had to face challenges, none of them would have found their creative solutions.
Again, both Bluey and Bandit were so committed to the other children that they burst out into cheers of joy when they succeed. It's a great illustration of how love doesn't stay still and contained in one person. It's shared and it spills out to those around us. We have a slide. Our final slide is a way that I saw that same process, that spilling out of love from one person to another in the Bible. Jesus says to his followers, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be complete in you and your joy may be complete." It's interesting to me that the title of the episode is Bike, and Bluey is the character who begins the episode trying to ride a bike. But we don't see much bike riding in this episode. At the end, Bluey dons her helmet and gets back on the bike, but the scene ends before we see her ride off. We don't know whether she rides successfully or falls off again. And it doesn't matter because she learned something different that day. Just as we are invested in Jesus and Jesus is invested in God and the love of God flows through to Jesus and then from Christ to us, Bluey is watching and participating in the love of her father, Bandit. She's watching Bandit and imitating her father. And from him, she's learning how to love others in the midst of their challenges and to celebrate and share joy with them. So as we close, I would just ask you, how do you see this in your life? And maybe in a very ordinary setting, at the park, as you're trying to get out of the house in the morning, who is showing up with you in your challenges and in even those ordinary moments? And how can you show up with love and attention and joy for others? So I don't know, So as we close this part, I'd like to invite you now to share in God's love during a time of communion. Here at Cedar Ridge, we celebrate communion every Sunday. We gather around tables and each take a piece of bread, gluten-free, and juice to remember the way that God, through Jesus, was present with us in this earth and the way God shares himself with us, heart, soul, and body, and mind. So as the band begins to play and you are ready, please come and take a piece of bread and some juice. You can eat it at the tables, or you can take it back to your seat, whatever feels most comfortable for you. There are other ways that you can respond at this time. You can light a candle in the back of the room for yourself, for those that you hold dear and that you love, for the grievances of the world around us. You can light a candle as a form of prayer and a symbol of the light that God brings to us. All the information about this is on the front page of the bulletin, and you can even just sit quietly in your seat as we gather. Thanks so much.